All right. Praise the good Lord on this November the 7th. Time change, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. Good to be saved.
Amen.
Good to be in the house of God today. I can't imagine being anywhere else. I'm glad I don't have to even consider that, because I'll tell you right now, boy, what a blessing it is to know Him. What a blessing it is to praise Him, to serve Him, worship Him. I'm telling you, hallelujah. God has been good. And the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads men to repentance. I guess that's what got old Brother Eddie saved. I got thinking about how good God had been to me.
Amen.
How terrible I'd been. It broke my heart. Yeah. And I repented of my sins. And I tell you what, buddy, He's still working on me. But He began a good work in me 33 years ago. And good Lord be willing, next year will be my coronation day. I will actually be saved as many years as I was old when I got saved. I'm looking forward to balancing the books on that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And boy, that's going to be a rough year next year. I'm going to probably shut the carpet off. Good thing we are putting new carpet down, because I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to that day with great anticipation. Our Sunday school lesson this morning will be in Daniel chapter 12. We're going to try to finish the book of Daniel today. But before we get started in this, Sister Bonnie called this morning, and she conveyed to me that she wasn't going to be able to be here today. Today's her mother's birthday, and I commend her for that decision. I think it'd be a blessing there to be with your mother on her birthday. Her mother's fairly aged, and she said to thank the church for praying for her mother. And she said that her mother wanted to tell everybody she loved them. And praise God. We thank the Lord for Sister Bonnie. She spoils me to death. Sends me cards all the time to encourage me. And somehow or another, she knows what kind of week I've had. I've had a hectic week this week. And she sent me a card yesterday, and I have to admit, it undergirded me. It helped me a bunch. We'll pray over this lesson. Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. Lord, for your compassions. Lord, for your precious word. Lord, we're just going to give the most earnest heed to your word today. And as we attend to your word, Father, we ask for your help. I pray, Lord, you'd open your words to us. Pray, Father God, you'd help us, Lord, to be able to teach. Lord, to be able to expound upon your words. Lord, we know, Father, it's very applicable, this chapter is, for the day and hour we're living in. I pray you'll help us put things in perspective. And we'll thank you and praise you for whatever you do. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Something I was getting ready to say, and I was training it while I was praying there. But we're going to be going to the book of Romans after we finish up the book of Daniel. I am looking forward to going to the book of Romans.
Yeah.
It's also a book that I feel like is a very timely book for the day and hour we're living in. And I've got a note here. I heard this on the radio. I'm going to throw this in here real quick. And let me get this here in front of camera here. Which one is it, Brother Ed? Can you read it? Listen?
Yes.
Can you see it?
Oh, yes. That's what.
Okay, I heard about this on the radio, and I was intrigued enough that I went online and actually looked it up. And this doctor was calling in, and she made some profound statements. And it says here the real pandemic has just begun, and it's the COVID shot-induced heart attacks in young people. And we're talking about people, teens and 20s, falling dead from heart attacks, brain conditions, and blood clots, and even as young as 5-year-olds. And here's a picture of one young man, and you can tell by the look on his face, he's wondering if he's going to live or not. And I don't want to be in that kind of predicament, but listen, the Bible tells us to not let anyone deceive us. It talks about perilous times.
Yeah.
And it talks about, you know, doing a little homework there. I mean, talking about wolves in sheep's clothing, by their fruit you know them. Mm-hmm. But this site here is called the LifeSite News. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I do feel like I need to spend some time here because I'm a watchman. And I'm trying to watch out for you, trying to help you, trying to discern times and things. But it says here a particularly horrifying Instagram post a few days ago shows our new global reality. It's a video taken on a crowded street somewhere in Israel. Hello? where a young person, it looks like a girl, in her teens, perhaps early 20s, has collapsed, her eyes are closed, her head is listing back and to one side, she looks completely unresponsive, and she's wheeled by paramedics through the hustling foot traffic off camera. A man in the crowd begins shouting, "This is Pfizer, this is Pfizer, this is Pfizer."
Wow.
And it says, if you think this is an overstatement, take a look at the sampling of dozens of stories that made headlines recently. 12-year-old Scottish girl dies suddenly of brain bleed. San Diego 8th grader collapses in gym class, dies of a heart attack. Healthy and active 14-year-old Gold Coast girl suffers heart attack on the soccer field. 18-year-old Italian girl dies after COVID vaccine shot. Brain surgeon said he's never seen such extensive and severe blood clots. 21-year-old college student hospitalized from a COVID jab. Young man collapses in Edmonton with brain bleed. 16-year-old drops with a heart attack during a game in France. A New Jersey rugby player collapsed to his knees and had a heart attack on the field. Now, like I said, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want to go just a hair further, because I'm going to give you a consensus. 184 deaths, 1,215 life-threatening and adverse events, 1,892 permanent disabilities, 5,542 hospitalizations, an additional 71 with prolonged hospitalization. I'm going to leave this. Anybody wants to see this. Age group from 0 to... shoot. 11,647 emergency room visits, 13,556 visits to the doctor's office, and other adverse events totaling 85,415 were reported. Overwhelming effect upon young people. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but here's what I do want to say. This doctor got so concerned about this that she took a vaccine and put a drop of it on a piece of glass to look at it with a microscope. First of all, she noticed a lot of foreign particles in the vaccine itself. But what was really alarming was she noticed these clear octopus-looking things moving that were very aggressive. Like if you put like a little pin to kind of point out where they were, it would attack the pin. Mm. They were clear. And they were being injected in people's bodies from this vaccine. Now that I might have been able to say this right. I said it all the way up here. The drug that they don't want nobody to take, ivermectin, something like that.
Right.
What it does, it kills parasites. That's why they don't want you to take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These parasites is what's causing a lot of these problems. And I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. That's the day and hour we're living in. And I'll tell you right now, you better pay attention. You better use caution. Some of these cases, they only got one chance. Okay, Daniel chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, talking about Daniel and the Jewish people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now he mentioned about a time of trouble, and in Matthew 24 verses 21-22, Jesus also made a reference to that. And he said in Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." There's Daniel talking about, well, this angel speaking to Daniel, and he talks about it's going to be a great time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even at the same time. And he says, Thy people shall be delivered.
Yeah.
Everyone that shall be found written in the book. In Luke chapter number 10, Jesus upbraiding his disciples. And, you know, as much time as they spent with him, you'd think they'd learn something, but I don't think they ever did. But anyway, those disciples, they returned to Jesus, and they're excited. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus, there for a second, he kind of gave a insight here. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And, you know, that's something that only he could say. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He says, behold, I give you power. And by the way, that's where power comes from. Yeah. It don't come from, I've got to pay our electric bill. But power belongs to God. And he gives it to whosoever he willeth. But he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now when this angel discloses to Daniel, he says, everyone that will be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now this is different than you and me.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jewish people. Jewish people that love the Lord. And we got the Lamb's Book of Life in our account. But they also got a book. And they're recorded in that book their deeds and all of that. And you know what? It's going to work to their good. And the Lord told them, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. This is a real intriguing lesson. I hope you pay attention. I'm going to expound upon some things in here you ain't going to get nowhere else. Amen? And I don't think you will anyway. And he mentions two resurrections here.
Yes.
Verse number 2. He said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, those two resurrections mentioned in the Bible, Jesus spoke a little bit about it in John chapter number 5. We'll do a little Bible study this morning. John chapter number 5.
He talks a lot about it that John does in Revelation.
John 5, 24. I'm going to read all the way from 24 down to 25. That's a long ways. No. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Look down at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Two resurrections are mentioned right here in John chapter 5. Some of them, they don't have any condemnation. If you'll notice verse 24, listen real good to this. Verily, verily, that means of a truth. I say unto you, he that heareth my word, I heard his word, and believeth on him that sent me, I did, April 27th, 1988, hath everlasting life. I've got everlasting life.
Amen.
And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now let me expound upon that real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. The Lord here speaking through Paul, he said, the words I give are commandments of the Lord. He's speaking to the church in Ephesus. He said, talking about Jesus, that he might sanctify. And he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, and that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water with the washing of water by the word. Here's a verse I wanted to read. I just didn't want to throw it at you. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I want you to know the Lord's the one doing this. It's not like a church is all that good. It's not like we've got anything to boast of other than a Savior.
Amen.
In Jude, right. Jude's only got one chapter, verse 24, get this. Now unto him, talking about Jesus, that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now he's talking about some to condemnation, and some shall not come into condemnation. Oh, let's go again. Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? Romans 8:34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to notice there's no condemnation.
Right.
In God, in, I'm looking for actually another verse here. I don't have to worry about condemnation. Here it is, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Right.
In Romans chapter 3, it talks about God being the one that justifies us. It says, being justified freely, Romans chapter 3, verse 24, by His grace through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteous for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. In other words, Ephesians 4:32, for God for Christ's sake has forgiven us, forbearance there. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and He is just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, I read all that for this reason right here. There's going to be two resurrections that ain't got a thing to do with us.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you right now, Paul said the time of my departure is at hand.
Yeah.
He said, depart, be of Christ far better. We will be passed from death into life. Jesus gave us eternal life. I know we bury our loved ones in the ground. And the Bible tells us not to sorrow, as others which have no hope. But it tells us rather to rejoice because they finished their labor down here. Their works are finished. They've gone home. And one day I'm going home. And I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'm looking forward to going home. I've about had it up to here.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this as nice as I can. I've about had it up to here with politicians that are terminal crazy.
Right.
I mean, they weren't born that crazy. They had to go to school for years to get that crazy. I mean, they're born more sense than what they're acting like today.
That's right.
I never seen such nonsense going on in this country. Since I've been born, I've been in this country 68 years. And it may have had some problems, but it ain't never had nothing like what it's got right now.
That's right.
And it's like a runaway train heading down the wrong track. Amen.
Amen.
But many that sleep in the dust, and this is talking about patriarchs. Some of them resurrected when Christ arose. Talk about many of the saints arose, walked through the streets after he arose. And some of them are going to be resurrected later. Moses died. He was buried of God. And he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. God did whatever he wants to do. But even though God killed Moses and buried him, he also resurrected him.
Right.
And still using him. Amen.
Right.
But in our case, if it wasn't for Christ, I would be in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason I'm not going to the grave is because of him.
Yeah.
And he gave me eternal life. And eternal life doesn't stop. I've got everlasting life in him. But these two resurrections, they do bring a lot of controversy. Some of them, that first resurrection, Revelation chapter 20 mentions about the first resurrection.
Yeah.
And it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. I can't wait for that day. I'd like to lay hands on him myself. I thought I could or would. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the devil getting shut up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season.
Yep.
And listen, I saw thrones, and they that sit upon them. We know that's the 12 disciples. The Lord told them he's going to give them 12 thrones. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. These are people that come out of tribulation,
right,
and had received his mark, and neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, when you read over about this second death, these people are standing before the great white throne judgment. We won't be. We'll be standing with Jesus. Amen. It talks about whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And verse 14 says, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Yeah. I ain't got to worry about neither one of them. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. I pleaded my case guilty 33 years ago. And I was as guilty could be. But I didn't just get pardoned. I got abundantly pardoned.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, praise God, Christ lives in me now, the hope of glory.
Right.
But these two resurrections, some of them are going to be resurrected that died in the tribulation, that denied the mark of the beast, that loved not their lives unto death. They're going to be resurrected first. Others are going to be resurrected that, really be honest with you, they didn't have any eternal plans. They lived their life in riotous living. And when it come to an end, it come to a sudden end. I was telling Donnie yesterday, we was talking about this young guy had a motorcycle wreck and lost his life, and the girl behind him on this motorcycle. And I told him, I said, Donnie, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I mean, it's not like there's any going to be any cure, not going to be any saving grace, not going to be any way of recover. You're out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they got on that motorcycle and never thought that day about going out to meet God. But a lot of people meet God on those terms right there.
Yes, that's right.
I rode a motorcycle myself. I was telling Donnie about how many close encounters and terrible wrecks I had. I said, I don't know how in the world I'm still here. I guess by the grace of God.
Yeah, that's right.
But verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And before I read any further here, I want you to look over Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse 10. He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
Yeah.
For the time is at hand. I'm glad, praise God. It might have got sealed in Daniel's day, but praise God, in John's day, it got unsealed. He said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And in Daniel's day, it was shut up. He said, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Donnie, he got him a smartphone. It done showed him it's smarter than he is. He called me. He said, try to call me. I can't get my phone to work. That's only like the 10th time that's happened. But anyway, some of these young kids, they just pushed one button, got him going again. But knowledge shall be increased. With your fingertip, You can bring anything up. You can search. You can find. You can Google. You can do all kinds of research nowadays because there's so much knowledge available. I don't know how credible it is, but I promise you this. They'll give you something, amen.
Yeah,
and I notice a lot of things going on right now. I notice they're getting a little concerned about Noah's Ark right now. And there's an expedition underway right now to try to find that Noah's Ark. And I thought about that scripture. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, they must be trying to find something to go on there. But he talked about, you know, this marrying, giving in marriage, he's eating and all that, until the flood came, took them all away. I think they're starting to, they're starting to pay attention, I think. But,
you want me to tell them what mountain it's on?
Mount Ararat. Yeah.
Right there in the Bible.
Yeah.
My heaven.
Yeah, and Ararat is between Turkey and Russia, and it's communist territory.
Right.
And they've known about it for a long time. They just don't want nobody else to know about it.
Nope.
But, you know, I think that, you know, God told Noah to pitch that ark inside and out.
Yeah.
One thing pitch does, it preserves. They've been finding Indian canoes like crazy right now. They've been finding my canoes and regular Indian canoes. And I got a feeling they're going to find this ark too, especially because it was pitched inside and out. And also, Mount Ararat stays frozen all year round. It's only thawed out 1 month a year.
Yeah.
And you got just a small window there to get up there to see what you can see.
That's right.
But they've seen it from above. They've seen it with satellite. They've seen it with plane. They took pictures of it, stuff like that. All of that, you know, God preserved just like His Word. They're digging in Pompeii and finding all kinds of things, you know, that are relevant to the destruction of Pompeii. And they're talking about, you know, digging and finding ruins that declare the Bible is true. But in Daniel 12, he says, But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. That's about where we're at. Many shall run to and fro. In Job chapter 1, verse 7, Lord, he asked Satan where he been. He said, walking to and fro in the earth, looked down in it. And he said the same thing in Job chapter 2, verse 2.
Yeah.
In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it tells us not to go to and fro, tossed about with everyone the doctrine. In Amos chapter 8, verse 12, it talks about, you know, that famine, you know, that hearing the Word of God, so they're going to go to and fro trying to find the Word of God. There's a lot of to and fro coming up, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find that. I know we're close to it. Here we go. Amos 8, verse 11, the Lord says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That to and fro, many shall run to and fro, he says here, and knowledge shall be increased.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. One said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, or swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, and time, wait a minute, let me read this right. That it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, this is a reference to tribulation.
Right.
They're going to have 7 years of tribulation.
Yeah.
And they're going to have 3.5 years of peace.
Yeah.
And it's a false peace, but they're going to have 3.5 years of calm before the storm hits. And the Lord tried to give them a warning there in Matthew 24 when He said, Pray that ye fight, be not in winter, and woe to them that give suck in those days, and all of that. You know, just going to be terrible time. But it's going to be 3.5 years of calm. They're going to be lax. They're going to be idle. They're not going to be concerned.
Right.
And that'll be for a time, times and a half. That's 3.5 years when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All of these things shall be finished. All this like a compass is pointing towards a day when the Antichrist is going to sit in the holy place. And the people of God are going to think, you know, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. He said, if another come in his name, he said, him you receive. Well, they're going to receive him. He's going to be sitting in the holy place. And they're going to think their Messiah has finally arrived.
Uh-huh.
And he says, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, they don't really understand this. Daniel don't understand this. The Jewish people don't understand this, but the Lord explained it there in Matthew chapter 24 and also in Luke chapter 21. He said, and I heard, but I understood not. That's true even today. A lot of people, they hear, but they just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? See, this concerned Daniel. He wasn't sure how far off this was. And, you know, he's 534 years before Christ. And he says, how long, Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He don't really get it. Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. He said, many shall be purified and made white. And try that in a racist statement. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now this verse says a lot. Listen to this. Many shall be purified and made white.
Mm-hmm.
Now the church is going to be presented without spot, without blemish.
Amen, that's right.
We're going to be given white robes. Many will be purified. I didn't do it. The Lord did it. He cleansed me.
Yeah.
And saved me. And many. How many? A bunch. It also describing the moral state of the world from Daniel's day to the end of time. Many will be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked. I try to pray for our government. I really struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if I don't pray for them, I'm just as guilty as they are of what they're doing. But I try to pray for them that God would cause them to see the wickedness that they're doing, the evil that they're doing, and that they might repent of it and proclaim a Nineveh repentance for America. That may not ever happen. But also I pray that God will expose their wickedness, that He will make it known, that He'll shout it out from the housetops, and they won't be able to do this under darkness, you know, in stealth and incognito.
Do like I do, Brother Eddie. When I go to pray for my president and my vice president, I say, Lord, my heart's not in it, but you tell me to do it, so I'm going to do it.
I'm like Brother Ed, I pray for him, but it's difficult. It's not easy.
Right now, it's tough.
It's tough.
Know, and I tell him.
I'm sitting there looking at what they're doing, and I know that they've been given power. It's probably the will of God for them to be in there. I just can't understand or accept it, but I try, like Brother Ed, I try to pray for them.
Yeah.
Try to understand it best I can. But it goes on, it says, the wicked shall do wickedly. I'm looking at stuff going on today, and I'm thinking, is this still America? How is this going on today? But you see, let me read this verse real quick here. Let me see if I can find this. It's going to be a tough one here. It's in, I think it's in Psalms 37. God help me here to find this, if that is it. Maybe it's on over here. I can quote the verse. I thank God to be able to quote all these verses, but finding them, that's another story. But it talks about, I seen the wicked in great power spreading himself like a green bay tree.
Verse 35.
Which Psalms?
Psalm 37, verse 35.
That's probably it. I have seen, thank you, Brother Jerry. I have seen the wicked in great power. Some people should never have been given power. But after the wicked gets that power, they do this, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Nobody can stop. I know one can. Mm-hmm. What did John Baptist say? The axe is laid to the root of the tree.
Yeah.
I'm just telling anybody they can get as powerful as they want. I know one, amen, got a chainsaw running right now. He's going to make short work too, buddy. He's going to bring that big old wicked tree down. John Baptist said in Matthew chapter number 3, he said, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Verse 10, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This wicked that's doing wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They don't even understand. You know, even the devil didn't understand that he had a part in Christ being crucified. The Bible said if the prince of this world understood, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But the Lord, He chose 12. One of them's the devil. He mentioned that in John chapter 6. And Judas done his part. Satan done his part. He entered into Judas. Judas went and sold the Lord. Got delivered into the hands of wicked men. Got crucified. But it was all the will of God. Mm-hmm. It says, but the wise shall understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you the difference between somebody saved and somebody not saved. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I used to be like that. Mm-hmm. I was blind, leading blind, heading for a ditch.
Yep.
I was in darkness. Says, they're foolishness unto him. He just can't comprehend it. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. They're just like a coffee pot not plugged in. They're not going to put much out. But he that's spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judged of no man. Hold on a minute. I may have actually... not read the verse I'm wanting to read. I'm looking for the one, but he that's spirit. Okay? Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. But what knoweth things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And you know, the spiritual man is different from the natural man, because the spiritual man can see what's going on, and the natural man ain't got a clue.
Right.
God, through the mind of Christ, has revealed things to us that the world can't understand. Verse 15, but he that's spiritual, that's what I was trying to find, I guess. You know, God makes a difference. And they don't understand things that are going on. They call this, you know, some book of fables. You know, they don't give any reference. As a matter of fact, when we get in the book of Romans next week, Romans chapter number 1, says they don't even like to regard God in their knowledge. They don't want that name Jesus mentioned. They put taboo on anything to do with God. And, you know, the wicked, they're going to continue their wickedness, but the wise shall understand. They'll discern the times. They'll be able to comprehend what's going on. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, right in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, and they're going to be offering up sacrifices to God for 3.5 years. Yeah. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. I think I figured that up. That's 3.5 years. But it's going to be right in the middle of the tribulation, this verse 11. That sacrifice, they're going to take it away. And I heard they was going to, put pigs on there instead of lambs, offering them, blasphemy, in sarcasm, in sacrilegion, just something to mock God and, provoke God. And, he's going to show up. And it ain't going to be funny when he does. Verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now, that don't sound like a lot, but Daniel hears, he's been inquiring, he's been fasting, he's been seeking God for, enlightenment and understanding. This last verse, but go thy way, talking to Daniel, to the end be, for thou shalt rest, he's going to go to his grave in peace, and shall stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So, the 12 tribes of Israel, they're going to all stand before God, they're going to all be judged, and everyone will be in their lot, and they'll give account to God, and he's a... Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's a righteous, true judge. But they're going to all be judged. Like I said before, I done been judged. I was guilty.
That's right.
As guilty could be. I pleaded mercy, got my case thrown out of court. And even today, I got a blank sheet of paper concerning me. It's all been blotted out. It's all under blood. I don't have to worry about no skeletons in the closet. I don't have to worry about anything. The Bible says, for us not to fear, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Perfect love casts without fear.
Amen.
I'm telling you, perfect love forgave me. Perfect love saved me.
Yeah.
Perfect love is keeping me even today. I have nothing to fear. Nothing. I'm in good hands. They're both nail scarred.
That's right.
You can't get no better hands than somebody trying to call me, talk to me about insurance on the way up here. And it was a robot, but I still enjoyed the conversation. I said, praise God, I'm glad I know a better insurance policy than yours. They said, you want to talk to an agent? I said, yeah. And they went dead.
Yeah.
I think they was able to hear the conversation I was having with this stupid robot. But they wouldn't let up, so I didn't either. So I just went Jesus all the way. I said, praise God, I know something better than Medicare. It ain't got an A or B on it. Amen. Hey, it's got Jesus on what it's got. Hallelujah. Well, we'll stop right there. We finished out the book of Daniel. We'll be going to the book of Romans next Sunday. I am looking forward to teaching out of the book of Romans. It's very up to date. It's very informative. It's really easy to understand the book of Romans. If somebody gets saved, you can recommend them two things. Either read the book of John or the book of Romans. We got these little books that they pass out. Sister Tammy found them for free. You couldn't give nobody just got saved anything better to read than them two books right there. Don't run to Revelations, try to read it. Don't run to Genesis, try to read it. Read the Gospel of John. Read the book of Romans. Read something you can understand. We'll stop right there. Father, thank you for your Sunday school lesson this morning. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.